in the church here this week. Amen. And I'm going to share with you this morning. But when we're done here this morning, so you can think about this as I share the Word of God this morning, what it is that you're going to be able to do and what you want to do. But we want, starting tomorrow, we want to do at least a week's fast here in the church. Fasting. Why fast? Why pray? We're going to look into words, God's Word today, and it tells us why we should fast and why we should pray. There's a lot of strongholds and things that are only going to come down and be broken through the act of fasting and praying. And that's Scripture. It's in the Word of God. Amen. Many times we just think, well, if I call upon the Lord, He's going to answer. And He does a lot of times. But sometimes there's things that we're just against, and it seems like the power of them is never going to be broken. But that can be broken through fasting and prayer. Amen. And that's an element a lot of times that we as believers, we just leave that part out because we believe, and it is true, God is all-powerful. He can do anything. But there's times where there needs to be a fast. And what fasting is, it means that you abstain from food for a period of time to break the power of Satan. And we're going to look at God's Word. Turn with me into your Bibles, into Isaiah chapter 58. And in this chapter here, it gives us a description of what true religion is. And so I could read the first 12 verses, but I'm not going to read it. If you would look at the whole thing, but if you look at the first five verses, you're going to look at a lot of where the church is today, is where people are today. And in an essence, and in a reality, what those first five verses are saying is those people were reaching out to God in their own way. They were doing it in the way that they thought they should reach out to God, in a way that they thought they could get God's attention, but they weren't getting the results that they needed to see. Their prayers weren't being answered. The bondages and chains weren't being broken because they weren't doing it the way that God had designed for them to do it. And there is a design from God to break the chains and the sins and the bondages and things that go on in people's lives. There is a family that we have been working with now for about a month and coming to the church here, and I'm contacting them weekly, and weekly the conversation is very nice, it's very good, they're going to be here, but there's always something that comes up that they cannot be here. They don't get upset when I call and talk to them, but we'll be there Sunday. They said today, yesterday when I talked to them, yes, we're going to be there tomorrow morning, we're going to do it, but they're not here. Things like that, the power of the thing that's keeping that family from coming here to the church, that can be broken through fasting and prayer.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. That's just an example. There's many things. You've heard the prayer request this morning. We're on Facebook Live, so I won't say names, but there's a family in here that's facing a dire situation with one of their granddaughters, and we're praying and we're calling on God, and we want to see a deliverance and we want to see help, and that granddaughter wants to get a deliverance and wants help, but it seems like it's never going to happen. But that can come through fasting and prayer. Amen. That the power of that thing can be broken. Amen. And there's all kinds of things that we're going to look at today. Amen. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but in the first few verses, they were doing it just the way they thought it should be, and it wasn't working for them. And then in verse 6, we're going to pick up there and read, and then we're going to share, amen, what I feel that God wants us to do. And so when we're done today, we're going to ask for each day of the week, Monday through Sunday of next week, that you'll take that day and you'll fast and you'll pray and you'll call upon God. And so let's read these verses here and see the importance of this. God, that the reading of your word will be blessed today, God, that it will be anointed by you. Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts, God. Lord, that we'll realize the power that there is in fasting and prayer, God. And we'll have a heart and a desire to do this, oh God. We thank you for it in your name, Jesus. Amen. Verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? And here we go. Clear down through verse 8. These are all the things that can happen by fasting. To loose the bands of wickedness. To undo the heavy burdens. To let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou thou seest the naked, when thou shalt cover them, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. And then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. And thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanities, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, that thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt rise up the foundations of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Wow, what promises there are in there, in that word, in that reading, to the reasons for fasting and why we should fast. Amen. And if we go and we look, there's also wrong motives for fasting, but we're not going to look at that. Amen. We're going to loose the bands of wickedness. Some people will fast for the wrong motives. I'll just touch on that a little bit, because they think that if they fast a little bit, they're going to get God to feel sorry for them, and then God's going to answer their prayer. We don't fast to get God to feel sorry for us. We don't fast to get God's attention. In the past, and perhaps now in this world, there have been prisoners that have gone on a fast because they're protesting something. The sentence that's against them, it's an unjust thing. And I'm just going to refrain from eating and drinking until you give me what I want. We don't do that with God. That's not a reason to fast. That's the wrong motive for fasting. But the first one that's listed here in verse 6, it says it this way: Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness. We fast so that others can be broken from their bands of addictions in their lives. The bands, it says it right here, the bands of wickedness. You can fast for other people so that the addictions that are in their life can be broken. Amen. What's a band used for? A band, and I thought about doing an illustration. I was going to pick on one of the kids, or Brother Kyle, and I was going to take a rope. And if you have the bands of wickedness around you, if he had a band of wickedness around him, if I had ropes wrapped around him, he would be very limited on what he was able to do. Those bands would be controlling him instead of him controlling those bands. And that's what happens whenever people have bands around them. They lose the freedom to do what they know is right and what they should do. In other words, they get to the point they can't help themselves. Have you ever looked at somebody and thought, why is it that they do what they do? It's because they have a band around them. They have a band of wickedness around them, and that has a power and that has an authority over their life. And so they don't have the freedom that they need. And so the physical band, as I said, that could be a rope or a chain. Amen. But in this scripture that we're reading, it's not just talking about a physical bondage. It's speaking of a spiritual bondage. It's upon the lives of many people. And so the reason, one of the reasons we fast is to loose the bands of wickedness. There's many people today that are in a spiritual bondage, and it's like it can't be broken. You counsel them, you talk to them, you pray for them, you help them, and it just doesn't seem to get you anywhere. Well, maybe you need to fast, and so that those bands can be broken and they can have that spiritual liberty and freedom that they're so desperately searching for.
Yeah,
John chapter 8, verse 36, we know this: He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. When Jesus sets somebody free, they're free indeed. There's no more bands around them. There's no more chains around them. There's no more bondages around them. They are free indeed. And you know what? God wants people to be free.
Yeah.
God wants you to be free. There's many Christian people. Yes, they're Christians. Yes, if the trumpet sounds, they're going to go to heaven, but they're living under a bondage. There's some bands that are around them. Those things need to come off. They need to be broken. God wants you to be free. People want to be free, but many times it's only going to come through fasting and prayer. There should be nothing in your life that is more powerful than God. There should be nothing in your life that's more powerful than God. There should be no desire in your life for something in this world that's stronger than the desire that you have for God. That's not God's will. There shouldn't be anything like that. Amen. And maybe there's some things in your life that you would like to lay down. You can break the bands of wickedness. Right. For others, you can fast. But maybe there's something in your life that you would like to lie down, but you haven't been able to. You've tried. We're living in the beginning of a new year. People make New Year's resolutions. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. They set aims. They set goals. But they fail those things. And so perhaps there's some things in your life you would like to lay them down, but you haven't been able to. Amen. I've tried to quit smoking, but I can't. Try fasting. Try fasting. Now, how long do you have to fast? We're going to look at that in a little bit of time here. Maybe that's a band that's in your life. You just feel compelled. You want to. You've tried. You can't. It's a flop. It's a failure. I can't do it. I'm praying. They talk about all this power that God has, all this deliverance that God has, but I don't see it working in my life. Try fasting. Amen. You've tried to do that. Amen. You can't do it. You don't want to do drugs anymore, but you're just so compelled to do it, and you're calling on God to help you, but it seems like the help is not there. Try fasting. Amen. To break the bond and the band of that thing, there's power in fasting. Right. Yes, there's power in the name of Jesus, but there's power in fasting. Amen. There might be somebody that struggles with pornography, and they pray, God, help me, Lord, take this away from me. This desire that I have, it's just not a good thing. I recognize it. I don't want to do this, but there's a band, there's a chain, there's a bondage there. Amen. And you can't get the victory over it. Try fasting. Yeah. Amen. Try fasting. Try calling upon the name of the Lord. Amen. There might be words that come out of your mouth that are not becoming to a Christian, and you're ashamed that you call yourself a Christian and talk in such ways, and you're trying your best not to do it, but there's a chain around you, there's a bondage around you, and it just happens time and time again. Try fasting. Amen. It's to loose the bands of wickedness. Amen. I can't control my temper. Try fasting. You know, I got a hot button, and it don't take much to set me off. And I know it's not becoming to a Christian, and I've called upon God, and I want God to help me, but it seems like it's not happening. Try fasting. Amen. Those are just some examples that we can look at, but there are many more things that are bondages in people's lives according to God's word. Do you have a bondage in your life today? Do you have something that has a band wrapped around you? It's a chain wrapped around you, and it's holding you down, and you're not proud of it. In fact, you're a little bewildered as to why it's there, and I can't seem to shake this thing. I'm believing God. I'm calling on God, but it doesn't seem to go away. Try fasting. Amen. Try fasting. And with that fasting goes prayer. Amen. Because the word says to loose the bands of wickedness. The enemy, Satan, wants to keep people bound up in sin. Even Christian people.
That's right.
That might be a controversial statement because Christians don't sin, but the enemy doesn't care. Even though we give our heart to God, he wants to keep us bound up in sin. That's his job. That's his work. Amen. But by fasting and prayer, amen, God will respond. Amen. And God is able to set people free. John 8:36. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And so if there's a bondage in your life, if there's something that you'd like to get rid of, it's like a baggage, just like a heavy thing. It's like a heavy load. I don't need to be doing this thing. I shouldn't be doing it, but I just can't quite shake it. Amen. It's through fasting and prayer. When we get serious about walking in victory, amen. If you get serious about walking in victory, you can experience that victory through fasting. You can experience it through fasting. And so this week, as we go into a week of fasting and prayer, amen, those things that are bondages to you, they're holding you down, you can experience victory in those things that are against you by fasting and prayer. How does that work? By fasting. Just by fasting, how does the bands be broken? How can I be set free? Amen. But when we fast, what we're doing in actuality is we're taking part in a biblical principle. A biblical principle, the Word talks about crucifying the flesh. Does it not? It talks about that in the New Testament. We are to crucify the flesh. And that flesh is the part of us that wants to satisfy or gratify the sinful nature. And it's within every one of us. Even when you give your heart to God, you still live in this flesh. And that flesh in you has a desire to do things against God. It wants to gratify itself. It wants to take care of itself. But when you say no to eating, when you decide, I am going to fast, that is a symbolism of crucifying the flesh. Because what does the flesh want to do? It wants to eat. I hope you're not sitting here this morning thinking about what you're going to eat after you get out of here. We're not a great number here today, but I can guarantee you there's some of us in here today that are sitting there, and I hope you're listening to me, but your flesh is thinking about, what am I going to eat today? What am I going to eat today? See, the flesh does that to us. It does that to us. And so by fasting, we crucify the flesh. And every time that we say no to dinner, we say no to eating, and instead I'm going to pray. We're going to do that this week. I'm going to pray. I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord instead of eating. What you are doing is you are building up your spirit. I want my spirit to be strong in God. That spiritual man within me is rising up. It's rising up within me, and it's decreasing the power that the flesh has over me. Because the flesh will consume you. It will take complete control of you. If you don't believe that, why is the world in the condition that it's in? Why do the sinful men do the things that they do? Because they are totally and completely controlled by the flesh and the desires of the flesh. And we as believers have to get away from that. And so when we control our appetite for food, and when we control our appetite for food, it should help you to understand and to realize, if I can control my appetite for food, I can control other areas in my life. Those bands that I'm talking about, those bondages, those things that I'm doing that I know I shouldn't be doing, that I just can't seem to break away from them, it can break those bands. Amen. And so by fasting, and you're showing your flesh, hey, I can control you, flesh, because you want to do this, it will help us to control other areas in our lives. Amen. When you're fasting, you're drawing nearer to God. James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. This is a step that's a little bit farther. It's a step that's a little bit deeper. There are many Christian people that do not fast. And now we're going to take and we're going to do this week. But it would be good for you to get it incorporated into your life somehow. The old saints of God, I think about them. I can think of some of them. I'm not going to name their names, but they would take a certain day of the week and they would abstain from food for that one day. And they would spend that time in fasting. And they wouldn't eat. They would spend it in prayer. They would spend it in Bible reading. And they drew strength from that. God wants his children to do that. Amen. Jesus, before he started his ministry here upon this earth, and you would need the leading of the Spirit to do this. I'm not recommending that you do it without you getting the real inspiration from the Lord. But Jesus went without food for 40 days and 40 nights before he went out into the ministry, because he had to kill the desires of the flesh and he had to let the Spirit of God rise up within him. And that's the significance of fasting. I'm saying no to the flesh. I'm saying yes to God. I'm going to let him rise up within me. And when you fast for others, amen, to be delivered from their addictions, God sees that. And how does this all happen? Because we're talking about, how does it happen by fasting? And so when you're fasting for somebody, for an addiction that's over them and controlling them, for the power of that thing to be broken, what does God do? God sees that you're fasting for that situation. So this week, be pacific in your prayers. Pray for somebody specifically. Pray for a specific issue. And then what happens, because God sees that, he has the ability, he's all powerful, and he can turn the power of the Holy Ghost up in them. Amen. And what are they going to feel? They're going to begin to feel the conviction of God in their lives about the thing that's controlling their life. They're going to feel a conviction coming over them. God might wake them up at night. God might make them restless so that they can't sleep. But, amen, the bands and the bondages to be broken. Fasting and prayer, it works. Yeah. It works. Yeah. We just start, we're Christians, but sometimes we're wimpy Christians because we think we're doing our due diligence because take it to the Lord in prayer, and we don't see the result. And we take it to the Lord in prayer, and we don't see the result. And then we cop out with this one. Well, didn't Daniel pray, and the answer was sent, and he had to wait 21 days before it was sent? There's some of us that's been waiting a lot longer than 21 days for our prayers to be answered. Maybe we need to fast. Amen. Maybe we need to fast. Maybe we need to get real serious before God. And remember, we're not fasting to get God's attention. We're fasting against the bonds and the chains that are against people. And so that was the first one in verse 6. It was to loose the bands of wickedness. And the next one is another reason to fast. It's to undo the heavy burdens. Undo the heavy burdens. Is there anybody in our midst this morning that don't have a burden over something or somebody or something in your life? And it's a heavy burden, and it's weighing on you, and it's holding you down, and it's pulling you down, and you feel the weight of it. Fasting can break those heavy burdens. It can undo them. Amen. So we fast. Another reason to fast is to help solve those difficult problems that you're facing. Some of you, as we're a small congregation, but I know enough about you. There's some of you that are facing very difficult situations. You don't know how or what or where or what's going to happen. By fasting, amen, by fasting, it will give you the ability to help solve those difficult problems. No problem is too big for God that he can't solve it. There's no problem so complex or powerful that God can't solve it. We think about it. We beat our heads against the wall. We lose sleep over it. We begin to worry about it, but we don't consider fasting. Amen. Things that people carry, the things that we're carrying, can become burdens. And it says here, why are we fasting? To undo the heavy burdens. Things that you are carrying today, the burdens that you're carrying, the weight of things that you're carrying, that's a heavy burden for you. That can be undone through fasting. And so there's situations. We all have them. There's situations and problems at work, or there's situations or problems within your family that become a burden to you. It's like a heavy load that you're carrying. And it's like, God, help me. We do the right thing. We're saying, God, I need your help in this situation. I need your guidance in this situation. But this fasting, it can undo the heavy burden. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how God's going to do it, but God can take that burden from you. He can solve that problem. He can solve that situation. And it's going to be maybe through prayer and fasting only. Amen. Many times, like I said, we'd be Christians. We just pray, pray, pray. What about some fasting? What about being a soldier of the Lord? What about taking on that work of the cross also and fasting to lift those heavy burdens? Amen. Your life might be more tangled and knotted up than what a shoelace is. Your life right now, I'm not saying you're not a Christian, but the situations that you're facing, and some of you are facing tough things, and you feel you're all knotted up and tied up. You don't know how you're going to get out of the situation. It's such a heavy burden to you. It's wrapped up like a shoelace. Amen. Finances are completely messed up. There's legal situations against you. Amen. The enemy seems he's attacking from every side. There's heavy problems going on in your lives. Your marriage is in shambles. It's about to hit the rocks. It's about to implode. Amen. And the solution to these issues is to call out to God during times of fasting and prayer. During times of fasting and prayer, you call out to God about those burdens and those situations that are so heavy upon you and weighing against you. How can I even have the ability to be concerned about the addiction that somebody else we just talked about? Amen. How can I be concerned about to loose the bands of wickedness against those that Satan has such power when I'm so taken down myself in my own life with the things that I'm facing? Amen. If I want these things to lift from me, and if you want those things to lift from you, you need to have a time of fasting and prayer. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And we're going to get into that one a little bit, but it's through fasting of times and prayers. When it seems that all is hopeless, amen, you need to remember this. It's a little song that we sing. Jesus is a way maker. Jesus is a way maker. Jesus is a way maker. And I know he'll make a way for me. Once I was lost in sin, and it goes on and on. We need to remember in the burden and situation that you're facing, Jesus has the answer. He has the solution. He has the way out of that. But you might only receive that through fasting and prayer. Amen. Through fasting and prayer. I hope you're praying about it. And if you don't get the solution just through prayer, why not consider fasting? Amen. God can solve these burdens and these issues that you're stressing over. Amen. He can solve them in an instant, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. That burden can be lifted. That problem can be solved. You'll have the answer. You'll have the solution. It happens. We have to expect the power of God to work in our situation. Are you expecting the power of God to work in your impossible situation? Relationships are strained within families. There's no solution. I've done this, I've done that, and nothing's working. Amen. There's power in prayer and fasting. Amen, that these things can be fixed in the name of Jesus. Amen. And it might take more than just one day of fasting. We're going to fast this week. We're not a large number in here, but I hope we can fill the week up. It might take one more day of fasting before. And here's what you got to get. If you want to hear the mind of the Spirit, know what God wants, you have to get a clear mind and a clear spirit before God so you can hear God's voice. That might take more than one day. This life's busy. It goes, hey, I'm on restrictions because of the surgery I had up until the 25th of January. I can't lift more than 5 pounds and no strenuous activity. I sort of like that strenuous activity thing because that's to my discretion. Hey, that's a little strenuous for me. Get my wife to do it for me. She might frown at me and think. And so I'm limited on what I can do. But you have, and so what? The reason I'm bringing that up, I'm having a lot of time now just to sit. And I'm a busy guy. I like to be busy doing things. And we had somebody come and help us this morning get the sidewalk cleaned and maybe need to get more organized on who's going to do what. But I like to be busy. But now because I have time to sit and think, you better watch out. Amen. I'm getting a lot of ideas. Amen. I feel God's talking to me a lot, and I'm writing a lot of things down. And I'm getting ready for some teachings and some things we're going to do in the church. But it might take more than just in your busy life. How long does it take before you can really think clearly and hear the voice of the Spirit? It might take more than one day, but fasting will start to lead you in that direction. The third thing in verse 6, to undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free. To let the oppressed go free. And what this is talking about, we can fast for revival and soul winning. We can fast for revival and soul winning. And revival just isn't when we have a 3-day revival at the church. Revival lives within us. It can happen at any time. There can be a stirring and a working and a moving and the power and the Spirit of God. And souls are coming into the kingdom of God. But those kinds of things are going to happen through fasting and prayer. And we are going to have a revival here the first weekend of March because we have fellowship here. I think it's March 4th. I could be wrong. But that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we're going to have Brother Brandon Wombles come down and minister to us Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. We call that a revival, but it can happen before he's here to preach to us. And it comes through fasting and prayer. That's a reason to fast. We are in a spiritual world, and the enemy does not want any church to be on fire for God. He just wants us to be passive. Just be passive. I go to church. That little song, me and Jesus got our own thing going. I pay my tithes, I give my offerings, I feel good about myself, I do right, I'm kind to my neighbors. It's more than that. Amen. The enemy doesn't want us, amen, to be on fire for him. Have you ever felt a heaviness on you and you didn't get the breakthrough that you needed? Now we're talking about to let the oppressed go free. If you ever felt a heaviness upon you and didn't get the breakthrough that you felt light again, that's what oppression is. You just have a heaviness on you. We just talked about undo the heavy burdens, but the oppression is something a little bit different. There are many saints of God that are oppressed by the enemy. There's a heaviness upon them, a heaviness over a situation, over something that's going on in your life, and that oppression is from the enemy. God wants us to be free from oppression. Amen. God wants us to have the victory. He doesn't want us to be oppressed. If the enemy can keep us oppressed, and then we're not going to be reaching out too much to anybody else because we're stuck in our own situation. We fast so that oppression can be broken. Amen. God wants us to be free. Amen. He wants your friends to be free. He wants your families to be free. The enemy doesn't want anybody to be free. But by fasting and prayer, that freedom can come that people are looking for. Amen. It's easier, and you're going to find that out this week if you haven't discovered it already. When you're fasting, it's easier to praise Him. It's easier to give worship unto Him. It's much easier to think about Him. It's much easier to think about spiritual things. Amen. So when we fast, and then we begin to praise in the middle of that fast, we're getting closer to God. We begin to praise Him, and then we can feel that heaviness leaving. We can feel that oppression and pray. The old timers used to say, come down to the altar and get on your knees and pray until you pray through. What were they talking about? Until you felt that oppression leave. Until you felt that heaviness leave. And when you got up from that place of prayer, you almost felt like you were floating on a cloud. Yes, all the problems were still there, but you didn't feel the oppression of those things. That comes through fasting and prayer. Amen. Fasting, it will also increase your faith. It will also increase your faith, and fasting will open your eyes to the needs of this lost and dying world. It'll open your eyes in the communities that we live in. There's some here from Ludlow. The rest of us, I think, are from Kane or the Kane area. Oh, what's going on here? There isn't. We all seem to be Christian folks here. We're a Christian community. Go on a fast. Get in touch with that spiritual world. Amen. And then your eyes will be open to the needs of the lost and dying community that we live in. And it ain't just going to stop there. Then God's going to drop a plan in your heart. God's going to drop an idea in your head. Something that you can go out there and do to work for him. Amen. To let the oppressed go free. And the fourth one, that ye may break every yoke. Break every yoke. What are yokes? Yokes could be many things. But it's mental and emotional problems. That's a yoke. A mental and an emotional problem. Questions that we have. And then there's a quote. And this isn't my quote. I'm not taking credit for it. Do you reign over your emotions, or do your emotions reign over you? We need to reign over our emotions. Don't let your emotions reign over you. That's not the way to go. And so, what's a yoke for? We know that a yoke is used on oxen to control them. Brother Eric has a yoke hanging on his wall. When my father was moving out of the area, he had a yoke there at Greendale, and Eric was all about that. I want that thing. I want that thing. And he has that hanging on the wall in his living room. But the yoke, and now we're talking about, it says here to break every yoke. So the yoke is used on oxen to control them. Okay, that yoke, if it's on the oxen, it can control them. God wants us free from every yoke. And Jesus said in Matthew 11:30, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so what is driving you? What's driving you today? These are yokes I'm talking about. Emotions. Are your emotions driving you? Jesus says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Is stress driving you? Is stress controlling you? By fasting and praying, the emotions can be brought under control. The stress level can be brought down. I don't know how it's going to happen, but God does it. Amen. So the stress level goes down. Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I don't think one time when Jesus was here upon this earth in his earthly ministry that he was stressed. I don't think he was stressed one time. Even when they were coming after him to take his life, he wasn't stressed. What controls you? What's driving you? Is it anger? There are people that have anger issues. They need God's help. That's an emotion. Those power of those things can be broken through fasting and prayer. Depression. There's people that always get into a depressed state. They do good for a while, then you're back into a deep, dark rut of depression. And it just seems like the power of the cycle of it can't be broken. That is where it is in verse 6. It says to break every yoke. That's a yoke that is upon you that needs to be broken. Some yokes that people carry is a yoke of despair or negative thoughts. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God wants us to have joy. He wants us to have peace. He wants us to have hope. He wants us to have love. Love. Amen. And he wants us to have courage as we face the issues of life. Because life is full of issues. God wants us to have courage. Amen. And so, what is it? Amen. God doesn't want people to live under emotional strain. And maybe there's somebody here today. And maybe you know of somebody. We're going to be fasting this week. The power of those things can be broken through fasting and prayer. To live under emotional strain. How do you know if you're living under emotional strain? Here would be a pretty good sign. When you wake up in the morning, you're in tears. When you go to bed at night, you're unhappy. That yoke needs to be broken. That yoke needs to be broken. Amen. And the key to being free is fasting and prayer. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. And it comes through fasting and prayer. Amen. And then we drop down to verse 7. We can get in there and we fast. Amen. Or in verse 7. So another reason for fasting, and we're going to get done here. Don't get nervous. And I'm going to look for a showing of hands. We fast to get in clear insight with decisions. I'm giving you a lot of reasons that you should take a fast day this week. A clear insight with decisions. A job offer. Should I go look for another job? I know Brother Kyle's facing that right now. He's struggling. His job's okay. He's got plenty of work, more than what he really needs to work down where he's at. But his wheels are turning. What should I? Fasting and prayer to get clear insight. It's not what I want, what I think, but God, what do you think? Amen. If you were going to buy a home, if you're considering marriage, amen, and there's many other things, the career, you're at the fork of the road in your life, and you need to choose a way. Which way am I going to go? You need to fast to see more clearly. Listen to this. This was a lot of years ago, 45 years ago. I wanted to marry who then was a beautiful looking young girl who now is my wife. She's still beautiful, so I'm not going to talk in past tense like she's not now. And so I talked to her mother after I gave her the ring. I talked to her pastor. And I can't remember the sequence, the order. I might have talked to him before. But he says, listen, young man, you're taking a step like that. And if you knew Brother Miller, he was hard taskmaster. He says, I want you to fast for 1 week before you say, yes, this is what I should do. And what was that thing? Should I give a ring to this beautiful lady back here to ask her to be my wife? He said, fast for a week. See, he had spiritual insight. I was at a fork in my road. Is this what, that's what I wanted, but fast and see if that's what God wants me to do. And I was working at the time, and I did it. I did it. I went 7 days, and something that I seen with that, and please, you that know me, know my little sense of humor and the way I say things sometimes might not be kosher and right. But as I was doing it for the 7 days, I watched the rest of my family, because I was still living at home, and they would go out, eat at mealtime. I could smell the food and that. But then I began to see as that week went on, as they ate, how eating that food made them sluggish, made them stupid, made them just like they were groping around in darkness. You fast, it gives you a keen mind. It gives you a very sharp mind. And so there's physical reasons for fasting too. That's not one of the reasons we should do it, just for physical. But it will give you a clear mind. You're at a fork in the road. You got to make a very important decision. There might be somebody up against something this week. You're going to have a very important decision coming this year. Fast and pray. Fast and pray and see what God would have you to do. And then we drop down to verse 8. If we do all of these things, and this is the part that we all like, it says, the light breaks forth as in the morning. It says, then shall thy light break forth as in the morning. Then all of a sudden, it's like the dawning of a new day. It's like the dawning of a new day. All of those other things we talked about. Loose the bands of wickedness. Those that have addictions. And we fast and we pray. And they get deliverance from that. A true deliverance. The desire leaves. It's the dawning of a new day for them. It's like the most glorious experience they ever had. And then you can include all the rest of them that we talked about. If you're carrying a heavy burden, and that heavy burden is lifted from you, it's like the sun is shining again. It's a new day. I can see clearly now. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. The light will break forth as the morning. What is it? God turns the light on, and now you know what to do. You know what to do. That comes through fasting and prayer. Amen. And fasting, it will also lighten the path, and you will know that you are doing the right thing. Amen. And you can fast for health reasons. If you're having an issue with your health, and you want help in that, amen, you can receive that healing. It says in verse 8 there, your health will spring forth. It says, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. Amen. How does that happen? It comes through fasting and prayer. The things that we face in our physical bodies, yes, we're praying. Look at the request that we had this morning. Praying for all these people. If you don't have anything else to fast about this week, fast and pray for these needs that were given here this morning. Sister Peg Bailey needs a miracle in her life. She's got serious health issues going on. You can fast and pray for that situation so that health will come speedily to her. Amen. You can pray for yourself too in those things. It'll come by fasting and prayer. And then it goes down and it says, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. So by fasting and praying, it's going to help you to live a more righteous life. I'm going to say that again. You're fasting and praying will help you to live a more righteous life, a more holy life, a life that is more like God wants it to be. It'll be through fasting and prayer. If you're not fasting and praying, you can't see that that's necessary. You can't see that I shouldn't do this, I shouldn't do that, I shouldn't go there, I shouldn't take part in this. It makes no sense to you. But by fasting and praying, your eyes are open, and then it will help you to live a more righteous life. And out of that more righteous life, you're going to have a better testimony. And as you have a better testimony, then it's a light to the world. It's easy to become cold. It's easy to become cold. And so we need to pray this morning. We're just about done here. We need to pray and say, God, set a fire under me. Lord, if you're in this place this morning, you're thinking, I don't know where he, man, he must be a sick man. Now he wants us to go without food. And he thinks somehow that's going to benefit the church and benefit us. I don't know where he's coming from. You're the one that needs to pray, God, set a fire under me. God, set a fire under me. Take me back to where I should be. Amen. And the benefits of fasting and praying, they are powerful. People will see something different in you. It's powerful. Amen. And I like the last part of verse 8. And by doing all of these things, and fasting and praying and calling upon God, and it says, the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward, meaning that God's got your back. God's got your back. He has your best interest in mind. He's going to watch out before you. Then we get the cart ahead of the horse. And then we can take those verses. Oh, we like those. He's going to take your crooked paths and he's going to make them straight. He's going to bring the mountains down. He's going to cause them to go asunder from side to side. Oh, we like that. But we don't want to do the fasting and prayer. What we need to do for those things to happen. And then in verse 9, amen, it's a good verse. Thou shalt call, the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here am I. It will result in getting the answer that you've been waiting for. If there's an answer that you've been waiting for, the result of that answer can come through fasting and prayer. We need to be a fasting people. And I challenge you this morning. In a moment, I'm going to have you close your eyes, and I'll be the only one looking. And I just want to jot it down. I'm not going to write down who's doing what day. I'm not going to write your name down, but I'm just going to mark that that day is taken. And we're going to take this week, and we want it to be a week of fasting and prayer. But the challenge that I want to give to you is make it a habit in your spiritual life. Some people take a day a week. I knew of people that took every Wednesday. Regardless of what was going on, they did not eat on Wednesdays. I'll throw this in. I hadn't thought about it prior. The people that are into witchcraft, into Satanism, it is said that they fast weekly. And why do they do it? To obtain more power from Satan. They see it. How do I know that? There was a man flying on an airplane one time, and they came back through with the food, back when they used to do that on airplanes. And there was a Christian man sitting there and the gentleman beside him. And I'm not, no, thank you. And he said, I'm not eating today. And the gentleman, the Christian man said, so you're fasting. He thought it was Christian man. And so then he more than took the opportunity to explain to him that he was into the occult, into Satanism, and that he fasted one day a week to get more power from Satan. So people that are into Satanism, occult witchcraft, can fast a day a week to obtain more power from Satan. What a shame it is that we can't fast. Now, let me say this. There might be health reasons that you can't fast. I understand that. God understands that. But a lot of people, they just don't have that power over their own flesh to show my, I'm going to show my flesh I can go without eating because there's spiritual benefit for it. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will help us today, God. Lord, we thank you for this word, and we thank you for the importance of fasting. It's written out so clearly in your word. And God, I pray that we take this to heart, God. The many benefits there is from fasting, God, there is no reason that not one of us in here should want to fast a day this week. God, in the name of Jesus, speak to the hearts of the believers here today, God. And as we go forth in this week and we go into fasting and prayer, there's many things, God. Lord, we believe that we're going to see all of this happen, that the bands of the wickedness are going to be broken, the heavy burdens are going to be undone, the oppressed are going to go free, that every yoke is going to be broken, God. Lord, and that our light is going to break forth this morning. It's going to happen in the name of Jesus. Lord, and we recognize today that you're calling us to fast. God, we do it. We want to see an increase in this church. We're doing what we know to do, but it's not happening like we want to see it. God, we're going to fast that those power of those things be broken, that there be a revival, that there be a breaking forth, that there be a breakthrough, God. Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And you can keep your heads bowed.